Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
To a lot of fans, Jay-Z represents the American dream. Raised in the hood, he transitioned from bricks to billboards and grams to Grammys, rising to be recognized as one of the finest hip-hop artists of a generation. Some people even call him the greatest to ever pick up a mic. Along the way, he also became a literal billionaire and is respected all over the world for the power that he's acquired in the positions he's held. But all of that has came at a pretty heavy price for Hove, as although he's in an incredible position today, it hasn't always been an easy ride to get there. Because alongside all that success, there have been moments where violence has threatened to overshadow everything he was trying to achieve and could have brought his empire down around him. From shooting his brother to his alleged involvement in stabbing a record exec, there have been plenty of dark incidents which Jay has done his best to hide from his investors and high-powered friends. And what's crazy is that it actually dates back to before he was even a high school kid. Born and raised in Brooklyn's notorious Marcy Projects, Sean Carter experienced a hard knock life that would later shape his worldview and help to make him a billionaire. He grew up in the era where the black community was ravaged by the arrival of a new drug that tore families apart and led to violent battles over turf. Since those days, Hove has used hip-hop as a way to depict his own experiences.
And you start, well, you know, in the street, and there's no one else to guide you through the maze that is life inside those projects, except for dealers. You start looking up to them, and that's how I got into the street life.
Forced to escape the trap, Jay became a beacon of hope for everyone who wanted to overcome their own origins in the hood.
For so long, we were living in these neighborhoods boxed in, and those neighborhoods were our world. A lot of people from Brooklyn didn't even take a trip to Manhattan. Never been in Central Park. It's 20 minutes away. It's a free park, and, yeah. You know, a lot of people have never been in it. Our little world was all we knew. We didn't know anything outside of that world. So to look and see people that look like you achieving great things is like, oh, there is more, you know, and it proves self-esteem and it improves upon self-worth, you know, because a lot of choices are made from the position of my life is not worth much and I'm not, this sort of living is not much. So if I risk my life, you know, what am I really missing? You know, how valuable human life is, you have more respect for yours and for others, you know.
But his story could have gone a whole lot differently if he found years in juvie. Because in one horrifying incident, the man who would go on to become one of hip-hop's biggest stars narrowly avoided killing his own brother. That all went down when a 12-year-old Hove found his brother Eric stealing his jewelry. If you're wondering why, it's because Jay's brother was suffering from those same narcotics that Hove would one day sell. So he was taking whatever he could for money to feed his habit. After trying to bury it deeply, Jay began to open up about this incident in his first book, Decoded. I thought my life was over. I thought that I would go to jail forever. It was terrible. I was a boy, a child. I was terrified. Then, he relayed the details of this harrowing moment on the track You Must Love Me, where he said, "Saw the devil in your eyes, high off more confused. I just closed my young eyes and squeezed." But while there have been rare instances where Jay was willing to open up about it, it sometimes seems like he regrets ever bringing it up in the first place. And in other interviews, he tried to brush it off as something that's too much of a wound to be brought back to the surface.
"Saw the devil in your eyes, high off more than confused. I just closed my young eyes and squeezed. What a sound. Opened my eyes just in time to see you stumbling to the ground."
Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable talking about that on TV. That just, it's not cool.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a bit over the line.
Other times, such as during an interview with GQ, it seems like something that he's grown tired of discussing. All the while, claiming he and his sibling have put it behind them. "I don't want to go there again." But what happened in the projects, especially back then during Reaganomics, it was wars. The aroma was everywhere. It was unbelievable. I always think of that Public Enemy song, Night of...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The living base heads. At night, it was like zombies walking around. Very dangerous. A lot of money was being made by black kids, and they were fighting over that money, and then they had Uzis. Can you imagine? Semi-automatic. I remember a Sunday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, these guys came through shooting Uzis, chasing after this other guy, and that was a normal thing. It destroyed plenty of lives. But I saw my brother the other day and we were able to get past it. He was able to get past his addiction, and I was able to get past my stupidity. Now, we're family. Although Jay-Z has been reluctant to delve into it too much, his former mentor Jazzo has provided some insight into what occurred that day. In his view, Jay wasn't intending to inflict any damage.
I can't remember, but it was not fatally wound, you know, but just like, and to be honest, I don't even think that he was aiming to like really hit him. In his defense, in all honesty, he just wanted to get his scared.
And he should know. Because, as it turned out, he played a crucial role in the event by giving him the weapon he used in the potentially fatal run-in with his sibling. But he maintains that he wasn't given it for that exact purpose, and that he was just letting him have it for protection. Nowadays, Hov's brother works as a barber, and it seems like they're still in one another's lives. Jay has even been pictured with him at the 4040 Club alongside Beyonce. Over the course of his life in Brooklyn, Jay was surrounded by the constant prospect of violence. And as it turns out, that incident with his brother wasn't even the only time that he wielded a firearm with dangerous intentions. Guns were around every day. There were shootouts, but I never shot anyone else. Most people in shootouts don't get shot. On other occasions, it was Jay himself who narrowly avoided losing his life to a bullet. From a very close range, yes. A friend of mine, we had a misunderstanding, and at the time, all misunderstandings ended up with someone getting shot. Luckily, I'm still here. While the details of the situation remain pretty vague, Jay's former best friend and hustling partner, DeHaven, opened up about it during an interview with Vlad, and in his opinion, it was on Hov.
We were speaking and Jay stepped out of line with some familiar people that I'm familiar with, and that shit just left a bad situation. You know, man, they turned into that. And that's all I could speak on that.
Despite the many feuds that the Rockefeller leader had been involved in with hip-hop legends such as Nas, Joe Budden, and even his former business partner, Dame Dash, Jay has managed to evade things getting hostile to the point that they're engaging in a physical altercation. Well, for the most part at least. Because at times, his fame has allegedly made him a target when he's outside of the Empire State. Back in 2002, Suge Knight made some crazy allegations during an appearance on Last Call with Carson Daly. According to him, Hov believed that he was given a free pass in LA by some of its biggest stars. But as it turned out, not every goon in Cali got the message.
The only thing I knew about Jay-Z that he came to LA a few times. Snoop and Dre told him that when you're on the West Coast, you wrote a song for me, don't worry about nothing. Next thing I know, he was taped up, robbed, and gagged.
To date, Jay has never came out to confirm or deny this story. But the same can't be said when it comes to one of his most infamous moments in his entire career, where it briefly looked like his empire might hang in the balance. This is Jay's infamous confrontation with Lance Un Rivera, a music executive who was the CEO of Untertainment. The pair were at a listening party for Q-Tip's Amplified record back in 1999, where he encountered Lance. The situation wasn't friendly, because there had been speculation that he was selling bootleg copies of Jay-Z's The Life and Times of Sean Carter Volume 3. This is maybe hard to put into context these days, but it basically meant that he was lifting money out of his pocket by distributing his record without his consent. In Hov's recollection, he lost his cool when he faced him, leading to Hov being locked up. So I approached him. When I told him what I suspected, to my surprise, he got really loud with me right there in the middle of the club. It was strange. We were separated and I went over to the bar. I was sitting there like, no the f*** this dude did not. I was talking to people, but I was really talking to myself out loud, just in a state of shock. Before I even realized what I was doing, I headed back over to him. But this time, I was blacking out with anger. The next thing I knew, all hell had broken loose in the club. That night, the guy went straight to the police and I was indicted. There was no reason to put my life on the line and the lives of everyone who depends on me because of a momentary loss of control. I vowed to never allow myself to be in a situation like that again. What went down that evening was that in the middle of a confrontation between them, Hove, or one of his affiliates is alleged to have Rivera. Afterwards, Jay turned himself into the police for disturbing and was placed under arrest before being released on a $50,000 bail. Alongside, he received 3 years of probation. In years that have passed since, Lance opened up about the situation.
Me and Jay-Z had a conversation while right before I got hit in the head with a champagne bottle. And it was a brief conversation. And I was looking at him like, what are you talking about? And you know you fucking the money up right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're bucking right now, bro. You getting ready to fuck up everything.
But according to Lance, the narrative around what happened that night isn't exactly the truth of the situation. Because while Jay was the one who was indicted, he doesn't believe that Jay was the one who struck the blow.
I don't know where people got Jay-Z from. Because if anybody knows Jay-Z, Jay-Z's a nice guy. He's an artist. He's a poet. He's gifted. And it's never been his history. You know, if Jay-Z had to stab me, y'all wouldn't have got the Black Album, you know, because through my whole history, I'm a eye for an eye type of guy.
This is actually consistent with what Nas said about the situation at the height of his own beef with Jay. On the famed diss track Ether, Nas suggested that he was made to take the fall of one of his friends spitting, "Your man's oon and made you take the blame." Whatever really went down that day, it's safe to say that he regrets it. Because as he has since acknowledged, he had a lot on the line that could have disappeared before his eyes.
You know, it's one thing to get in a fight in a club when you don't have that much to lose. But what I'm trying to put together in my mind,
right.
I mean, you are an incredible success story. You have built an empire. And you put it all at risk like that.
Yeah, I think that was a wake-up call and a calling card for me to let me know. Like, it could just all go down the drain. Like, it could all be taken away from you.
And now you're confident that you're more under control than you were?
Ever.
It'll never happen again.
Never.
But even though it looked like the moment was about to formally turn over a new leaf, there were still moments where the old ways of handling things bubbled back to the surface for him and his crew. After the stabbing of Lance Un Rivera occurred, Jay released the R. Kelly assisted Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Over time, this would lead to a briefly fruitful collaboration between the two. But it all went wrong as soon as they tried to embark on a tour, leading to a violent incident and a whole host of legal fees for both parties. After two projects were released, the duo embarked on what was dubbed the Best of Both Worlds tour. The shows were fraught with tension from the outset, and by the time they got to Madison Square Garden for the first of three shows, they were barely even talking. That night, Kelly claims that he received a threat, leading him to cut his performance short and run off stage. Afterwards, Jay aired the disgraced R&B star out on stage in front of everyone.
You okay? You safe? There's no in the building. I'm gonna take my time on this. Y'all live out there tonight. I don't lie to you, know me personally. I really, really tried to hold this thing together. I really tried. I was really patient. I was really freaking patient, I'm telling you. Y'all know how it go. We gonna have even more fun tonight, you know what I mean? I don't want no cool shit happening in this building tonight. The only cool motherfucker in this building tonight is me.
Backstage, chaos ensued, and as R. Kelly's team tried to get him back on stage, the whole thing blew up in their faces. After both men's teams squabbled, he was pepper sprayed by Jay's longtime confidant and eventual Roc Nation partner, Ty Smith. Long before hip-hop gossip spilled onto the internet, it was on the radio airwaves that rappers tried to control the narrative. So immediately after this went down, Ho visited Angie Martinez at Hot 97 to clear up his side of things.
When we do the show, it has a rhythm. So I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you know when you feel like for a second the music didn't drop, I asked the guy Randy Bozzelli, what's happening? And I see him in front of stage, but I can't hear what he's saying. I thought he was going for the lights move again. You know, my lights is messed up again, you know. I thought he was going for that move again. I didn't know he said something as ridiculous as someone in the crowd is pointing the gun at him. That's Madison Square Garden. They're tough in the garden. Tough time getting backstage. It's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so imagine that.
In his opinion, jealousy played a major role in what went down.
If people give me love, he has a problem with that. Like, his ego cannot take that. I've talked to him like a real dude because he's not used to having real dudes. Like, yo, dude, you're ruining yourself. You know, I don't work for you, B. You know what I'm saying? I don't work for you, nor am I under you. The best of both worlds is about you doing the best of what you do, not doing, I do the best of what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to try to outshine you or destroy you on stage. I'm here to do my part.
Soon after, R. Kelly came straight from the emergency room to fill Angie in on what he thought had happened.
You okay? We're hearing rumors of a hospital, you in the hospital or something. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. This guy sprayed with some pepper spray in my eyes. I had to go to the hospital to get it drained or something. This was when I was going back on the stage performing. I apologize to New York. I apologize to my fans for the show going left the way it did tonight. That was certainly not my intentions.
Along the way, he kept it respectful towards Jay, but said that his concerns over what went down were legitimate.
I am not worried about Jay-Z on stage, R. Kelly on stage, him doing better than me. There's no way that Jay-Z can do better than me. Jay is like a tennis player, I'm like a golf player. Mm-hmm. And we're both at the top. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Some shows I've ripped. Some shows Jay's ripped. I expected what I expected here because this is his home. A couple of people that's close to me that I had gotten threatened. What you think I should do? It was a private call on my phone. That came anyway because I really wanted this show to happen. I saw a guy looking real hard at me. You know, but I went back to the left, came right back to the right. And I can't say the guy had a gun, but when he made the movement to open up his coat, I saw something. Now, I went back to change so I could come out for my segment. I told my wardrobe lady what had happened, but she told me I should just let security know. I see another guy in the bleachers doing the same damn thing. There's another guy in the bleachers to my right doing the same thing, maybe four rows up. I went backstage, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I was crying, I was upset, I was pissed off, and I called my production manager, Chris. He called Joe McDavid, which is my business manager. I told him what was going on.
Then he discussed the exact moment he was sprayed by Ty Ty.
At this point, it's me, Ja Rule, going up the stairs to go on stage. I was told to don't come up on the stage, whatever. And then he starts helping fans. Nice. That doesn't deserve violence at all, because that's not what we out here for. I was on the stage, basically walking up the steps to the stage, on the stage, and I got pepper sprayed and went in my eye, went in my mind.
The lawsuit was nasty, with R. Kelly offering a $75 million lawsuit, only for Hov to countersue, and then later diss R. Kelly on the remix to Drop It Like It's Hot, where he said, "Homie, you got pizzade, take it like a man. The flow ran you off the stiz age. Wasting your time trying to sue Esta. Tell your lawyer to take the civil case and drop it like it's hot." Since that point, Hov's reputation has been overhauled. Nowadays, he's better known for being in the boardroom than for battling with other MCs. But that doesn't mean he hasn't had his moments. During the height of his career, Jeezy, who got an early co-sign from Hov on Go Crazy, claimed that Hov was happy to back him up when things got physical in Vegas.
Yeah, Hov done been in some, like, you know, a lot of people don't know, like, we've been in some fist fights and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, some things popped off in Vegas. God bless the dead, Shakir Stewart, my brother. And I gotta say, Hov got hands, because me and him was getting down. We was back to back, you know what I mean? And I heard his assistant saying, "Jay, get in the car." He's like, "I ain't leaving Jeezy." I was like, "Yo, I rock with him." You know what I'm saying?
Other times, his willingness to use violence as an unconventional negotiation tactic has always been a concern. Allegedly, he even threatened Rihanna to get her signature.
He said, "There are two ways to leave here, either through the door with the deal sign or through this window, and we're on the 29th floor."
So you was like, "Where's the pen? Where's the paper? I'm signing."
Other times, he's been the man on the receiving end of a whooping. Who could forget when Solange put hands on him in an elevator over his treatment of her sister?
Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man.
Because of incidents like this, as well as how he has become averse to rap beef, there is now a sense that Jay is a far softer individual as he once was.
He created this real safe. It wouldn't have been like that if he actually dealt with his issues himself. This is a piece of work, man. He always put somebody in front of him. When Jada came for him, he put Beanie in front of him. And Beanie went back and forth with Jadakiss. When Cam came for him, he put True Life in front of him. And he just didn't compete.
Whether it's due to maturing, distancing himself from the streets, or realizing from past incidents that he could no longer move how he did, Jay acts very differently than he used to. Instead, he does his threatening in the courtroom these days. Whether it's Jaguar Wright or Kansas City, Hove uses his legal team to fight his battles now. And with all the allegations that have been leveled at him recently, it seems like he'll be doing a whole lot more of that in the coming months and years.